Boy, this case is driving me nuts.
Sure is tougher than usual.
I like the straightforward cases where there is an obvious crime, clear evidence, cooperative witnesses, and especially shifty accomplices.
This Jesus gang has me flustered. It seems like it's mostly religious issues, preaching, teaching, that kind of stuff.
The authorities told us to get something on this bunch, so that's what we're going to have to do.
Yep, and the first principle of criminal investigation is?
Follow the money.
Right. Bring in those suspects we rounded up earlier. Let's start with the little guy. He might be easy to break. For the record, what's your name, residence, occupation?
Zacchaeus from Jericho. I'm chief tax collector.
Huh, this will be easy. These tax collectors would sell out their mothers for a few bucks.
What brings you to Jerusalem?
Jesus of Nazareth. I heard he's here for the Passover festival.
You like this fellow, Jesus?
Yeah, he's amazing. He came to my house, you know, my house.
Well, you are the chief tax collector for Jericho.
You don't understand. It wasn't a tax matter. He came to see me. People don't just come to see me without being forced or without receiving a summons. Jesus came to eat dinner with me.
We're so happy for you.
You should be. People don't like me.
That's a big surprise.
They avoid me like the plague, but I'm only doing my job.
Yeah, for the Romans and King Herod.
Yeah, taxes are taxes. Someone has to collect them.
And I see you haven't done too badly. Lucrative business, huh?
It can be. That is, there are temptations.
What, the skim off the top?
That's just it. People think of us as scum of the earth. Yet this teacher, this holy rabbi, invited himself to my house.
Was this itinerant evangelist hitting you up for money to underwrite his activities?
Or did you just have the goods on you looking for blackmail?
None of that. Although he did have the goods on me, as you say. He knew of my cheating and dishonesty. Still, he offered me the forgiveness of God.
And you're still collecting taxes?
Yes, but I don't cheat anymore or steal from anyone. I also demand that the collectors who are working under me are honest too. In fact, I paid back anyone I cheated 4 times the amount, and I gave half my money away to the poor.
To the poor? You mean to the likes of Jesus and his poor followers?
No, to the poor. I didn't give Jesus a dime, although I want to. In fact, I haven't seen him since that day. I wanted to thank him for changing my life.
You haven't seen him?
Nope.
Well, thanks for the information. If you find him, let us know. We'd like to hear what he has to say, too.
Okay.
Well, that was a bust.
Yeah. Well, I'll get another suspect. Have a seat. What's your name and occupation?
Levi. Well, it was Levi. Now it's Matthew.
Nice.
Do you have a habit of using aliases?
No, it's just that my life has changed so much that a name change seemed appropriate.
Changed? What's changed?
I used to be a tax collector, and I'm ashamed to say it, a thief.
But now you're not?
Not anymore. I gave it all up to follow Jesus full time.
So you're with this Jesus all the time?
Most of the time, we travel as he teaches and blesses the people.
Where do you stay?
Anywhere we can. People are generous. They invite us to eat. They offer us places for the night, help with laundry and personal needs. Some even make donations, so we have a little treasury.
As a financial wizard, I'm sure you must keep the records then.
As a matter of fact, no. I don't need any more temptations in my life.
Who keeps the books?
A good, honest man named Judas. He even volunteered to do it.
You don't say. Judas?
Yeah, thanks for your help. Keep in touch. Tell me that we have this Judas Iscariot in custody.
Well, it's our lucky day. He's right in the next room.
Have you been with Jesus for a long time?
I guess you could say it for a while.
Nice guy, this Jesus?
Yeah, he's okay.
You travel around together, preach and teach and the like?
I guess you could say that's true.
People help feed you, shelter you, pay your expenses?
Yeah. What's it to you guys?
Well, as you know, whether you work for a living or receive donations, there's taxes to be paid.
Oh, wait a minute. Now I know what this is all about. Listen, I make sure all the taxes are paid, but the money's always tight. There's never, ever enough.
I suppose it'd be nice to have a steady income.
You better believe it. Why? You guys got some good ideas?
Matter of fact, I think I might.
Okay, I'm listening.
There's a reward being offered by the temple authorities for information leading to the arrest of Jesus.
How much?
I've heard as much as 30 pieces of silver.
And what do they want in return?
First of all, who are the ringleaders?
Well, they're just guys, Simon Peter, and then the two sons of Zebedee, James and John. They are as thick as thieves.
That's an interesting turn of phrase.
We also need to know a good, quiet location, away from crowds, where we can arrest him without incident.
So, are you our man? We'll pay you some in advance.
Good. Give me the money now, and I'll let you know when and when later. Where and when later.
Always nice doing business with a man who knows the value of a drachma.
You better believe it.
Yes, as we always say, follow the money.
Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. As we travel through our Lenten series, the question on which each of us must reflect is an old question. If I were being arrested for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict me? Today we heard from three of Jesus' followers. We discovered that being one of Jesus' closest disciples doesn't necessarily mean or make you the most loyal, nor does being the worst of sinners make you unredeemable. It depends on your response to God's love. Take, for example, the story of Simon the Pharisee, not interviewed tonight. He was interested enough to invite Jesus to his house for dinner. He was curious about Jesus in a skeptical sort of way. But he was not gracious enough to offer Jesus even the most common of courtesies, like anointing a guest's head with oil, or making sure his feet were washed in the customary fashion of Jewish hospitality. What Simon did notice was a woman of the streets behind Jesus as he reclined at table. Forget the common courtesy. She wet Jesus' feet with her tears and dried them with her hair. She kissed his feet and anointed them with expensive perfume. Simon could not see the repentance and sorrow in her tears. He could not see the humility and confession in her actions, nor could he see the value she placed upon the one who could redeem her from her lost condition. All he could see was that Jesus allowed this defiled woman to touch him. Simon came to the conclusion, if this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what sort of woman this was who was touching him, for she was a sinner. He kept those thoughts to himself, but Jesus knew what he was thinking. And so Jesus told a parable about two men, one with a large debt to a money lender, and another with a smaller debt. Both debts were canceled. Which one, Jesus asked, would love the money lender more? And Simon grudgingly admitted, the one who was forgiven more. Directing Simon's attention to the woman at his feet, Jesus said, I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But he who is forgiven little loves little. Her extravagant love was the evidence that Jesus had forgiven her much. The Pharisees' little love, not even the most common courtesy toward his guest, was evidence that he had nothing to give the Savior of his soul. Jesus could have easily thrown back Simon's accusation. If Simon was a teacher of the law, he would know what kind of a man he himself was, a sinner. Zacchaeus also had dinner with Jesus in his home. He was so grateful for the weight of sins lifted, for transgressions forgiven, that his behavior radically changed. He paid back the money that he had stolen and became an honest and fair tax collector. Matthew, too, was so relieved that his sins were forgiven that he left his lucrative position to become a disciple of Jesus. With all the hardships and sacrifices that were required of being a disciple of Jesus, like the other disciples, he left everything to follow the Lord. But Judas, as you know, loved money. He loved the world. He loved himself. Even though he saw the miracles of Jesus and personally witnessed Christ's words of life and love every single day that he traveled with Jesus, he could not get beyond his own interests, his own lusts, his own greed. He failed to heed Jesus' warning. What will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and yet forfeits his soul? As St. Paul warned Timothy, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evils. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. Is this not a verse directed towards Judas and anyone who makes money their God? Sometimes it appears to me that Simon the Pharisee and Judas are no different than you and me. They lost sight of the value of God's gift. How about you? Have you lost sight of the price paid for your life? Do you see the evidence that the love of Christ is still there as it was for the sinful woman, for Matthew and Zacchaeus? Tonight you received on your forehead a mark with ashes, a reminder of the penalty of sin, that is, death. But this mark of ashes was also made in the sign of a cross, the price paid for your redemption, that is, the death of God's Son, Jesus. Like a gracious host, Christ welcomes you to his table tonight, a meal of bread and wine. But it's not just bread and wine, because it has mysteriously been kneaded into the bread and mixed into the wine the precious Word of God, which makes this common food into the true body and blood of Christ for the forgiveness of sins. At this table, you will see and receive, see and taste the evidence of Christ's love for you. Not just a symbol, but the real presence of Christ, real spiritual food. And with this food, your faith will be stirred, and the evidence of His love will be reflected in your own life. It will show in the way that you use your time and your talents for Christ's kingdom work. It will show in the way you treat others with kindness, putting their interests before your own. It will show in the way you treat the marginalized part of society, the poor, the aged, the demoralized, the mentally and physically challenged. For your sins, which are many, are forgiven, that you might love much. God grant it, for Jesus' sake. Amen.